This is one of those times I wish I were a better singer. I spent several minutes trying to find a hymn for us to sing as the hymn of the day for today, and ended up picking the one that we just sang. But the one that I was hoping to sing, I actually found, ended up being an Old Testament canticle in a service that we don't yet know. Or at least, if you know it, I didn't know that you knew it. The service of prayer and preaching. If you want to follow along as I read it, the canticle begins on page 261. Page 261 in the front of your hymnals. Here's how it reads. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. As you may have noticed, this text is pulled directly from our Old Testament reading for today, from Isaiah chapter 12. This morning we'll learn why this canticle continues to be sung even today in New Testament times, and how it applies to our trek toward the cross, beholding the man, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our text from Isaiah begins with these words. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Now again, Isaiah prophesied, you will say in that day. But to which day was he referring? To find the answer, we have to go back a couple chapters in the book of Isaiah the prophet to chapter 10. The first mention of that day is in chapter 10, verse 20, where God says, in that day, the remnant of Israel and the survivors of the house of Jacob will no more lean on him who struck them, but will lean on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Now here, God was speaking about Ahaz, who, if you don't know, was king after his father Jotham and after his grandfather Uzziah. You might remember the term, the word Uzziah from the beginning of Isaiah in chapter 6. God was referring to how King Ahaz had leaned on Assyria's protection. Assyria's protection to protect the Israelites, rather than believing in and trusting the power of God. God had even allowed him to ask whatever he wanted as a sign from God, and he would give it to him. But Ahaz continued to trust in the power of Assyria. So God says in our text, no more. No more would the Israelites lean on him, that is, the Assyrians, who struck them. God had told Isaiah to prophesy that there would be trouble to come. But God also had Isaiah prophesy here in our text that he would not allow that trouble to last forever. He would be sending a Savior. And most importantly, he would be sending a Savior from sin. On that day, the day of the coming of the Savior from sin, it would be said, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Now again, King Ahaz had depended on the strength of Assyria to save him and all of Israel. At another time, we find that Israel trusted the might of Egypt to save them. Never mind that Egypt had been the one to enslave them years prior. Far too often in their history, we see that the Israelites, God's chosen people, turned to the wrong strengths. That is why God said that they would say that he had delivered them despite his anger over them. When the people and even their king, King Ahaz, trusted other powers rather than his, God became angry. And rightfully so. They were trusting others for help, not God. And so they were committing idolatry, trusting in idols rather than God. And God had every right to be angry with them for it. To whom then do you turn for your strength? Do you trust God or do you trust in idols? If you trust other nations, your nation, your political leaders, your pastor, or anyone else to deliver you from evil, you are trusting an idol and not God. You are sinning, and God has every right to be angry with you for it. Yet God had Isaiah prophesy that with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. There is one thing that the Lord God has more of than anger. That is his love. His anger is his alien work. The work that he desires to do and the work that he does is loving his people, both the Israelites of old and us. His salvific love is as plentiful as the water found in a well. God not only delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians, after which the bitter water was turned sweet, but he also promised to deliver them from the Assyrians, from the Babylonian captivity, and ultimately from their bondage to sin. In sending his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross, God paid the price for the sins of all of humanity. And there, from the cross, came another water. Once Jesus had bowed his head in death and gave up his soul, the soldier pierced his side with a spear, and from it flowed blood and water. Jesus is the fountain for all of life. He is the only place to find forgiveness, salvation, and life. So in our text, God was promising to free both the Israelites and all of humanity from their bondages. No longer would the Israelites be under the power of the Assyrians, and no longer would humanity be bound to the punishment they deserve for their sins. And you are no longer bound to the punishment you rightly deserve for your sins. For not keeping God first. And you will say in that day, who is the you? Here it is plural. It is not just the priest who will joyfully proclaim the work of God in saving the Israelites. It will be all the Israelites who will be proclaiming that God saved them from the Assyrians by his plentiful love. And when that greater day would come, that all of humanity would be free from its bondage to sin, it would be more than just the Israelites who make that joyful proclamation. It would be the Israelites, the Gentiles, and all who come to know the love God has for them in Jesus Christ. Yes, even you. You will be singing on that day. You will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. And that proclamation would continue with these words. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Now you may be thinking that in this Lenten season, these words sound very strange as we behold the man heading for the cross of Calvary. Hearing a command to rejoice and sing, praises sound very out of place. Yet even as we continue through this dry desert of Lent, we find oases of God's love and salvation every Sunday. Sundays in Lent have been described as many Easters, because it is on these days we still hear that thirst-quenching good news of the gospel. Our alleluias may not be sung right now, and our music may be lessened, but that good news is most definitely still present. So we sing praises to the Lord, for we know that he has done gloriously. We who have received the forgiveness of our sins by our faith in him desire for this good news to be made known in all the earth. So we shout and sing for joy, even now in the middle of Lent, for great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel. Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Isaiah and the prophets, is the same God who is all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we know that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who we behold as he goes to the cross to accomplish our salvation, and we know that he already has. In Jesus' name, amen.